part of the celebration I think no one celebrates better than kids do. Am I right? Yeah, okay. Am I right, kids? Yeah! All right, so what I need is I need the kids to come and join me here. But not touching the flames. Yep, no one tell our health and safety committee that I'm on. Come in, and I look, if you... I have chocolate. All right. Look at this. Yeah. Initially, as soon as you say chocolate. Oh, man. Look at this. Okay. All right. So what I need you to do, I need you to have a buddy. Okay. Can you get a buddy? All right. Okay. Now, can your buddies team up with another group of buddies? Okay. And I need one group here. All right, you guys on the end, could you jump over here? You're going to be group one for me. Group one. Do you know every second we waste is a chocolate gone? So group one, you come over this way. There we go. Right over in the corner, right over next. There we go. All right, group two, you guys just kind of stand here. Yeah, you go across. Group three, you stand here. Keep coming. Yep, that's the way. Where's group four? Oh, go up a little bit more. I reckon we're going to... Group four? Yeah, you're perfectly positioned right there. All right, and then we got group five. You guys can be a group five, that big group there. Where's... Oh, hang on. Maybe now I've overestimated here. Where's our group six? Hang on. Where have I gone? One, two, three, four, five, six. So we've... You're missing... That's okay. No, that's perfect. So you're a group, and then you're a group six, seven... I'm going to actually break you guys at 7, 8, 9. All right, now I'm going to break up a group. I got to get 12. Okay. All right, so you guys. 10. This is going to be hard to count soon. Okay. Can I do 11? You two? No, you guys are already one. Oh, 12 at the back. Perfect. Yes. Okay. Let's try and do this. What? Okay. No, I know what we're going to do. We're just going to restart. One. Okay. You got to remember your number. One, two, three, four, five. What? Six. Yeah. Lovely. 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12. Okay, quick. All right, you ready? What number are you?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8. 9. 10.
11.
12.
All right. Okay. You guys know your numbers. Now, hidden throughout here, however, I think I've learned that someone has already discovered one, and so I'm missing an egg. But if you have like a little egg, what's the number? Don't tell me the number. What you're going to do, your number is written on eggs or on the bowl. You need to go through it. Now, it's just in this space here, so not around the back. Don't touch the things around the curtain just yet. And they're not outside. So they're in here. They might be under chairs. There's none on stage other than maybe somewhere over there. But you need to find your number. And then when you find your number, I need you lining up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay? So you got to remember your number. All right, are you guys ready? Go find your eggs. 1 through to 12. Remember, they're all down there unless you happen to be six. Have we got anyone who's found any yet? Have you found your number? All right. If you're around, you can give some helpful kind of five. Oh, we got eight over near the pole. Have we got a six? A six. We got seven. Lovely. All right, Jesse, you're going to join me first then. You guys are up first. Okay, so you guys come up here. Oh, you've got yours. Well done. All right, so you're going to come over this way. What ones have you got? Have you got somebody else's?
Yeah, he's got number 12.
Oh. All right, well, do you want to give the number 12s? Well done. Okay, well, he's looking. Oh, who's got 11? Okay. Do you know what number you were?
No, I got 12.
That's number 11. All right, well, it'll all come out in the wash. All right, how are we going? Have we got all the numbers? We've still got four. Who's got four? Oh, no, there's none on here. Who's looking for number four? Was that my children? Yeah. Oh, number five. Yes, throw a party. Number five. Number five. Number five. Number five. That's yours. Yeah, that's yours. Sweetie, that's yours. That's yours. All right, I think are we sorted? What number are you looking for? Do you know what number? Six. Keep coming. All right. That was beautiful chaos, wasn't it? Okay, so what I'm going to get you guys to do now, you're going to help me preach. How does that sound? If it's anything like that, it's going to be chaos, but it's going to be great. So, but what I need first, who's got bowl number one? Come on up and join me. All right, you're going to stand here where people can see you. I'm going to hide here where people can't see me. So one of the things, hang on. We'll just do number one. What have you got? You got number four. Yep, up down there for me. Good work. I'll call you up very soon, okay? All right. So basically the Easter story kind of starts around this time when the Jewish people were celebrating a festival called Passover. Hey, I'm just going to... All right, boys, we're just going to sit for a little bit, okay? You sit there. If you sit here. There we go. Perfect. Just don't want expensive equipment being broken on my watch. So they would celebrate this festival called Passover, and this is a festival when the people would honor God because he saved them, brought them out from Egypt, and rescued them from the oppression and the darkness of Egypt. And so this was a long time ago, and now Jesus had been traveling to Jerusalem to reveal how, again, God was setting people free from a great captivity. All right, so what have we got first? We've got egg number one. All right, boys, you open one each. What have we got inside?
Oh, what's that? A donkey.
Donkey? Shrek, you reckon?
A donkey.
Another donkey. What does it say, though?
There. Okay. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
Well done. That's awesome. So basically, we've got this story where Jesus arrives, but then people have been hearing all about these incredible things that Jesus has been doing, these miracles, these wonderful healings, and where he was bringing people out of darkness, bringing people from death into life. He literally raised people from the dead. And so they were anticipating the coming of this king, this Messiah, this Prince of Peace. And so they recognized Jesus and saw what he was doing, and they thought, this is the king. And so Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling scripture from a long, long time ago, the people were so happy to see him that they were saying and praising and shouting, "Hosanna!" Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's our story so far. Well done, boys. Here, I have no idea how many I've got, but and then just pop here. You don't want it? Okay. All right, who's got number two? Come on up, number two. Number two. Okay, what have we got in number two?
What's that? Money.
Money. Is that for me?
The one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver.
Well done. Well done. Didn't they do great? So now there was an issue, though, because as everyone was proclaiming that Jesus was the king, the promised Messiah, we had religious leaders, the Pharisees, who weren't happy to see Jesus. He was starting to take some of the credit that they thought they deserved. He was starting to encourage them to do things that didn't fit in with the way that they thought life should be lived. And they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And so they then wanted to get rid of Jesus. They started to plan to how they could kill him. And actually, one of his disciples, one of his 12, one of his closest friends, Judas, similarly decided that actually maybe Jesus wasn't the one that they thought they were waiting for. And then the lure of money, he betrays Jesus and tells the Pharisees and the religious leaders where to find Jesus, where they can capture him. And they pay Judas 30 coins to betray his friend Jesus. Thank you so much, girls. Well done. Here you go. If you pop your eggs down. There you go. You can just pop. Lovely. Thank you. All right, who's got number three? Come on up. Oh, my goodness, you must have a good-looking father. All right, just stand here for me. All right, so what have we got in egg number three?
What's that, Melody?
Wine.
Wine?
A cup.
Ah.
A cup, eh? Nice.
And what have you got there?
A picture of a note.
I wonder what it says.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you.
Well done. So later that night, so that before the religious leaders had captured Jesus, Jesus gathered with his disciples for a special dinner, a dinner that we got to see a little bit of. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we had Yaakov speak through the Seder. And so this was a meal that they would have at Passover time. And during this dinner, Jesus gave his friends bread. And he said, "This is my body that will be broken for you." And then he gave the, and as they ate of that, then they continued through. He then took a cup, one of four cups, the third cup, a cup of redemption. And Jesus took this cup, which filled it with wine. And he told his friends that this wine represents the blood that he would shed for them. And so passing the bread and the wine around, they ate of this, drank of this, not really sure of what he was pointing to, and yet about to find out. Well done. Well done. All right. Egg number four. Who's got egg number four? Oh, yes. All right, boys. Who's going to read? All right. Oh, and you got your one? You go over and get your one. Okay. Do you want to open that one up? Do you want to open it? Yeah. You got the paper one. And you've got an empty one. That comes a bit later in the story. No. So what this one is, it's just invisible praying hands. I don't know where they are. If you find praying hands somewhere. And now, can I help you read this one? Can I help you read it? they are. Two in one. What's in there? You open it. What's that?
Hand.
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 Well done. So, it says, you see, what's that?
Hand.
Hand. He went a little further and fell on his face, this is Jesus, and prayed saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Well done. Yes. Well done. Yeah, I'm going to give you. Here you go. Do you want to put them in there? And I'll give you that. So, the praying. Oh, here you go. You get your own too. Hey, well done. Parenting 101, chocolate. So after dinner, after this, the Seder dinner, after Passover, so Jesus wanted to go to a special place to pray. Jesus was known for going and praying because he wanted to do the Father's will. So Jesus and his friends went to this garden called Gethsemane. And there Jesus asking his friends to pray with him, his three closest friends, "Would you stay awake and pray with me?" he said. He was afraid of what was coming. He was daunted by what was coming. And so they fell asleep. But while he was praying, Jesus bowed down and presented himself to the Father. To submit to the Father's will, he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And as he was praying, Judas brought the soldiers that he had agreed to betray Jesus with, and they arrested him, and they took him to the religious leaders, and they accused Jesus of saying that he was God's son. And because these leaders didn't know, they didn't know the truth. And so they wanted him to pay the ultimate price. They wanted his death. And the people around, the people who perhaps were on the roads earlier shouting, "Hosanna and praise be to the King," started to cry out, "Crucify him." All right, can I get eggs 5 and 6 up with me? Yep, 5 and 6. Good work. Here we go. You know chocolate's coming. All right, 5 first. What have we got in 5? Do you want to open them up? Yeah, you can pop that down. Here we go.
Oh, what have we got?
Whip.
Oh, a whip. All right. How's your reading go?
Can you?
I don't know how to read.
You don't know how to read? I don't know how to read very well. I don't worry. All right. So it says here, so Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Well done, guys. All right, and what have we got in this one? Yeah, you open it up for me. Ooh, what's that one?
I don't know.
Yeah. What does that look like?
A crown.
Oh, what is it?
Jesus crown.
Crown. It's like crown of thorns, maybe. Crown of thorns. Now, do you want to do a bit of reading? How do you go with reading? Do you need help? Yeah. That's all right. Okay, so what it says here, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Well done, guys. I reckon. Yeah. There you go. You want that one? And do you want a blue one? Okay. Here you go. You can pop those down there. Well done. And you guys over here. You pop them in the bowl. There you go. Well done.
So after Jesus was brought to Pilate, because Pilate had the authority to crucify Jesus. And so then wanting to just deter them from the crucifixion, because Pilate, when he saw Jesus, said that he hasn't done anything wrong. So he took him away and whipped him. And they took his clothes and they put a crown made of painful thorns on his head and they mocked him. And still the people called out, "Crucify him, crucify him." So we come to eggs 7 and 8. We got 8 as well. We're not sure where 8 is. Now, we've got 8. Lovely. Yeah, he's got his hand out ready for the chocolate. All right, seven first. Seven first. All right, what have we got in seven, girls? What's in that one? Oh, what's that?
Cross.
A cross, and what's it made out of?
Metal.
Metal, like nails. All right, do you want to read your bit?
Yeah.
And then they had mocked him, and they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Well
done. Thank you, girls. Well done. And what have you got? You're ready, hey? Should we? Oh, what's that?
Cookies.
Not cookies. I went.
Dice.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, thank you. And now you're going to help me read this? And then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Oh, these guys did amazing. Here you go. There's your, there you go, Dan. I'll give you those and a couple more. And you guys did incredible too, hey? Oh, yeah, nice. You got a bowl ready to go. Here you go. Should I put them in there? There we go. Thank you. So they made Jesus carry his, Pilate giving in to the cries of the people to crucify him. Pilate gave in. And then they put a heavy wooden cross on his shoulders as he had to carry it up a steep hill. There he carried the device that he would be crucified on. And they took him up to this hill and they put it up and they nailed him to this cross. And while he was on the cross, unlike anybody else, the guards played a game with dice to see who could have the clothes Jesus had been wearing. All right. Egg number nine. Who's got nine? Come join me. There's chocolate waiting. No, not that big a rush. Have you already given them a lot of chocolate, Joe? And they're like, yeah, we've had it. Come on up. All right, what have we got a... Oh, we're... Okay, if anyone finds a spear. Oh, you put it in your Easter egg bag. Nice. What's this one?
Spear.
Nice. Well done. And you're going to read?
Stake hole.
Exactly.
John 19:34. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out.
I'll give you guys this. All right, should I put these in here? Do you want them in here? One, two. There you go. Well done. Round of applause for them. So Jesus on this cross, up there, striped by the whips and the scourges. And they went. What they would often do is they would break the legs to try and see that they would pass, that the people on the cross would pass away quicker. But Jesus had already passed. And so the guards, wanting to be sure, though, they went up and they pierced him, striped and pierced for our transgressions, we read. And they saw that Jesus had already passed away, the perfect and blameless lamb. And so, egg number 10, where's our egg number 10? Come on up. What have we got in egg number 10?
Piece of cloth.
Very good. Now you're going to go with reading that.
Matthew 27, verse 59.
When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped in a clean line of clothes and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed.
Well done. So a friend, we read about a man named Joseph who was one of the disciples, but he was also, he was kind of quiet. He didn't want to be known because he was with the religious leaders for a lot of things. But then afterwards, he putting all hiddenness and mystery or wanting to hide completely to the side, he asked for Jesus' body. And then not only that, it would have been a huge expense to him, but he opened up a tomb that was for him, for his family line, and he places Jesus in that, wrapping him in white cloth. And so we continue into Egg 11. Egg 11, come on up. All right. What have we got? What have we got?
What?
A rock. Well done.
On the picture we have a stone.
Do you want me to help you read it?
No, I can't. Matthew 27, verse 66. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard."
Well done. Yes, sir. There you go. Well done, guys. So to make sure that the disciples of Jesus, because they had talked about that he wouldn't die, that he would live, so to make sure that no one could steal this body and create some propaganda to make it sound like that Jesus had risen from the dead, they took extra measures. So they rolled a stone over this tomb where this dead body lay, as if it could escape. They set guards outside so that no one could come. And so they were doing everything they could to make sure that no one could get inside, but no one could get out. Okay, egg number 12, come on up. You guys can come up this way if you want. Our final egg. What have we got? They're big steps. Oh, yeah, there we go. All right. What's in here?
Can you see anything? Is there nothing in there? What? All right, do you want to read? Find out why?
Matthew 28 of 25. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay."
Woo! I'll put these in your pocket. Okay, one, two. Great reading, man. That was awesome reading. Here you go.
Didn't they do amazing? Good work, guys. You can go back down with your parents there. So this tomb that was guarded, this massive stone was over, the guards were around it. 3 days later, friends of Jesus, these women that were close friends of Jesus came to the tomb who had brought spices to put on Jesus' body. And when they get there, they're amazed. The huge stone is rolled away. And they look inside. If that wasn't weird enough, they then look inside and the tomb was empty. Jesus was gone. And then we read of these angels who appeared and one said, "Don't be afraid. You are looking for Jesus, I know. But he's not here." Why? Because he has risen, just as he said. And then the women remembered that Jesus had said that he would rise. But at the time that he said this, they didn't understand what he meant. Now they knew. They knew that Jesus was alive. And so the angel tells them, "Go and tell your friends the good news." And this is a story that we have been telling ever since that day, that Jesus is alive. And today is the day that we recognize and we celebrate that Jesus is alive, that the tomb was empty. Now, here's the thing. We've got this grave to the in-between, to what you see before you is the garden. This story has always been about moving from the grave to the garden, from death to life. If you know the general story of the Bible, you will know that God's most profound act of creation in Genesis was to literally breathe his spirit life into the first humans in the midst of a beautiful garden. And I think it's no coincidence that then God's first act of the new creation, of this new kingdom that he was proclaiming, that Jesus had come to proclaim and to see rolled out throughout creation and the world, was to breathe his spirit life into the crucified Jesus and to raise him from the grave. And where? In the middle of a garden. In the first garden, God gave full responsibility to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to multiply and to take care of creation. But this instruction, this mandate was quickly lost to temptation, power, greed, and sin. The grave on Good Friday is good. And the waiting and the silence of Saturday is filled with hope. Because on the Sunday, this day that we celebrate what took place in that second garden. Jesus rising from the dead, meaning that he had conquered sin and death. We read that he was tempted like us, but did not sin like us. So what we see is the literal image of God in human form, inviting us all now into this new creation to cultivate his kingdom. Empowered by the Holy Spirit that he gives us, we are commissioned once again, as Adam and Eve were, with the words of our Creator echoing in our minds. Be fruitful, multiply, fill this earth, this garden of God's goodness, his blessing, his faithfulness, his truth. And all of this, do you know this is the thing? When we look at Scripture, there's three gardens. Well, actually, there's also the promised land. But anyway, three gardens. Garden of creation, this garden when Jesus is resurrected, and we are looking forward to the garden city of Revelation 21. A garden city where God will wipe away every tear, where there will be no more sorrow, where there will be no more pain. He will repair every broken heart and make, do you know what the promise is? He will make all things new in Jesus Christ. This is why we celebrate Easter. This is why we celebrate the resurrection. Chocolates are great. There's more here. But Jesus is better. And so I'm going to pray for us now. I'm going to pray that the reality, the truth of the resurrection on Easter Sunday would sink into our minds and into our hearts and into our beings and shape the way that we walk out these doors. As we eat our chocolate, our hot crust buns, and have our lunches, as we engage with people in our workplaces, in our homes, as we move about, as we drive home and get cut off by someone. Lord, would you help me? But remind us, remember what Jesus has done, this new life, this new garden that we are brought in to cultivate. Would you pray with me now? Before we sing our final songs. God, we pause with such gratitude for the gift of your undeserved, unfailing, and unfathomable love. Thank you for communicating your love for us in a way that is so personal, so extravagant, and so gracious. Thank you for dying, Jesus. But thank you for rising from the dead so we could have hope. Thank you for washing away our sins by offering yourself as the perfect and blameless sacrifice in our place. Thank you for proving that you are real, you are powerful, and that only you can give us power to live our lives well through your incarnation, your death, and your resurrection. Jesus, would you open our eyes to the reality of death and waiting? This in-between, this paradox that we live in now where we hold those two things, but so that we might truly understand the beauty and the wonder of the resurrection and what it means for us, that we might comprehend the journey so that we might be in earnest striving towards the destination, your glory, Jesus. We thank you for all you have done for us. And so we offer this day and all that's in between until the day of your return and that garden city is recognized and we live in it, we offer our lives to you in gratitude for this amazing grace. Our Jesus, our Savior, our King. Amen.